You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on a Wednesday, one day away from the NFL draft, y'all. Let Marcus Spears tell you, he is live from the land. Marcus, good to see you, sir. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam Rose. And fellas, we start with, okay.
Molly, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm a little bit relaxed today. I recall somebody coming on national television as recently as 2 weeks ago and getting on us because we look like we ready to go to Wall Street. Those were his exact words. His name would happen to be Marcus Spears. But now here we are.
Here we
are. We at the a day away from the NFL draft. Max Kellerman, Molly Kim Rose. Let me ask you a question. Who's looking like they heading to Wall Street now? That would
Say,
be
bro,
Marcus Spears.
I'm at the draft.
Yeah. All business.
I am at the
war
draft.
Room.
Okay. You
gotta
dress
be dressed
up
like that.
For
you
have
the
to
draft.
Understand.
Marcus,
Stephen A.
Him.
Lobbied to be in Cleveland for the draft, but he was turned down.
Okay.
Flagrant lie.
He's feeling some type of way. Okay.
Flagrant lie.
He said, wait, the draft is in Cleveland? I gotta
Marcus.
Be there.
But Marcus, no, I wish I was there at the draft covering the draft with you. I don't care what city it is.
Cleveland's Lake Erie, bro. Come on, you know that's a lie. You know that's a lie.
His general hospital duties.
Cleveland pretty nice.
All right.
I didn't know Cleveland was the home of Superman either.
Guys, they're
this
rolling the video
town.
On you. They're bored with us. We start
okay.
with some
All
big
right.
news.
Sorry.
Antonio
All
Brown right. is re-signing with Tampa Bay. He's ready to run it back, y'all, signing a one-year contract that could be worth up to $6.25 million. The re-signing means the Bucs are bringing back all 22 starters who started Super Bowl 55. They are not playing around. Stephen A., what does the AB re-signing mean for a Brady Super Bowl repeat?
I think it cements what we already know, that they're going to be the favorites to repeat, number one. Number two, they're not playing games. And number three, they have lived up to their word in every way you can imagine when it comes to their commitment to Tom Brady. This is who he wanted. This is somebody that he wanted. He wanted him when he was in New England. He wanted him when he got to Tampa Bay. Obviously, Bruce Arians, who was once completely against Antonio Brown being a member of their locker room, embraced it. Didn't, you know, no tolerance policy, but nevertheless embraced it. And Antonio Brown came there. What did he have? About 45 receptions for 483 yards in a few games that he played, with four touchdowns, had a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But we forget that Antonio Brown, with a full season under his belt and healthy, a full training camp, full offseason, et cetera, et cetera, this brother's an all-world receiver. We're forgetting that. And the fact is to have everybody back, the Godwins and the Mike Evans of the world, you know, with an O.J. Howard coming back potentially. I mean, with Antonio Brown there, I just can't say enough about it. Antonio Brown is an elite receiver, and I don't think we need to forget how elite this brother is. So for him to remain there is a huge, huge deal for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It just cements what we already knew, that these brothers ain't playing. They're going out to repeat. And the fact that all the starters have returned says a boatload about their intent and about their belief in Tom Brady and about the fact that Tom Brady is running this franchise. Because if Tom Brady didn't want Antonio Brown there, not only would Antonio Brown not be there, Antonio Brown would not have wanted to come there if it were not for Tom Brady.
This means the Bucs are favorites at this moment to come out of the NFC and maybe even to repeat as champions, because Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers of all time. I don't mean one of the best, one of the 10 or 20 best. Like, you could argue top three or four, certainly top five. The quality of his prime was just about as good as the quality of any player who ever lived. You could take Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. His numbers fit in comfortably with those kind of players in his prime. And who's to say he's not still in his prime? I mean, he's taking $6 million if he hits bonuses, right? Not because of his play on the field. That's not why he's at six instead of multiples of that. It's because of the off-the-field stuff. When he's on the field, the guy, listen, is it coincidence that they get to the Super Bowl and who's catching touchdown passes? AB and Gronk. the two best pass catchers of their era and two of the best of all time. That's from the Bucks' point of view. What about from AB's point of view? It is six and change, right? If he hits his incentives. Boy, that's a long way to fall compared to where he was, but he's also very incentivized. And then you look back at the Bucks and you go, wait a minute, not only is Tom Brady throwing the ball to AB among all these other great receivers, AB is the best one. And by the way, and Gronk and all, you know, the whole band's back together. But we know that with Brady, a lot of it, guys, is not just how good you are. That's part of it. Does he trust you? He's established a relationship of trust with Antonio Brown. So you mean to tell me instead of Edelman, it's now AB? The guy that Brady, it's Gronk and not Edelman, but AB? Oh, it's a problem.
Yeah, look, to the point, man, both of you, AB is going to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a one-year, $3 million deal, all right? Let's put this in perspective. We are talking about a Hall of Famer when it comes to football that still has a lot left in the tank, that just signed for $3 million. These dudes getting 20, 25 for his type of talent. So that's a huge win. Tampa is benefiting from what you said, Max. They're benefiting from everything that transpired with Las Vegas. They're benefiting from the things that AB has had to deal with off the field. And now you get him, now with a full offseason, now with ability to get ingrained, still playing at a very high level for $3 million. That's what's big about this signing. We know AB gonna play well. We know he still has a lot left in the tank. But this does not happen. And now we're talking about Tom Brady, along with O.J. Howard, that's gonna be coming back off an Achilles, along with Mike Evans, along with Chris Godwin. Leonard Fournette is back, and you just got Gio Bernard, and you got the pick in the draft. Antonio Brown, out of all of those guys I just named, let me give perspective. It's the best offensive skill player on the team, and you got him for $3 million. That's why this is significant. The best offensive weapon for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers outside of Tom Brady is Antonio Brown, and he's about to play for $3 million. That's why this is significant and big.
It's significant with the $3 million, but that brings in a different storyline that elevates the significance. I'll modify it to a degree. Last game of the season, regular season, if I remember correctly, it was either that or the second to last game of the season. I think it was the last game of the season, regular season. Antonio Brown needed 11 receptions to trigger a $250,000 bonus. And Tom Brady got him his 11 receptions. Tom Brady threw the ball to him 15 times that game to make sure he got his $250,000. Now, what's the significance of that? This is when you talk about a guy and having and cultivating a relationship with you that's so profound, so significant, you can't really put a price on it. And that's what Antonio Brown just showed. Because I think even with his troubles, we can all assume an all-world receiver like Antonio Brown that had gotten through worrying about disciplinary action coming down upon him from the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. We could all assume he could have gotten more than $3.1 million from somebody else. He wasn't going to get the money that he once received, and he blew. But he certainly was in a position as a Super Bowl champion who still has a lot in the tank to get more than $3.1 million as a receiver. He took it because of Tom Brady. He took it to play with that guy. And when you have that kind of guy that influences you, even an Antonio Brown of this world, to that degree, where this brother is willing to sit up there and say, all right, I'll take this money just to play with you, that speaks volumes about Tom Brady. It really
does. You got to take your hat off to him, because, guys, normally when we see this with super teams, and I like your point, Marcus, it's not just that you re-signed AB, it's the price point that you did it. It's the value you got. We see it with guys like with LeBron, with, you know, Mike Miller, right? Or with the Nets right now, they have a super team. And someone like Blake Griffin, those guys were long in the tooth when they signed. They still had something left. They got motivated, and they take a little bit of money to get to do it. But when do you see a guy who is still as deadly as AB do it? And so it's a confluence of events.
It's a little different.
It's Tom Brady taking advantage of the fact that the off-the-field stuff really killed AB's market. I agree with you, Stephen A. He'd probably get a better deal somewhere else. I imagine he would. But the fact that we're even talking in this world of numbers for AB is because the off-the-field stuff and Tom Brady's presence, he took advantage of it.
Well, Marcus,
it is the value of a guy like AB with what he has left is amazing.
Before you chime in, Marcus, I'll say this. Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge combined to take about $20 million less to go to the Brooklyn Nets. But clearly they went to the Brooklyn Nets to win a championship. What I'm saying about Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown did that because Tom Brady is his quarterback. I think if you had the same collection of talent on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Antonio Brown still doesn't go there for $3.1 million. He goes there because Tom Brady is there. It just so happens to coincide with a championship at this particular moment in time. But that's what he did. Just like he wanted to be in New England, he ended up being in Tampa Bay because Tom Brady was there.
I wouldn't debate that point.
I think that's the difference between the two.
I wouldn't debate that point.
No, there's no need to. It's obvious. Like, it's obviously the influence, Stephen A., no doubt. But once you get beyond that, you start talking. This is like Julio Jones playing for $3 million. This is like Stephon Diggs putting up a year like he had in Buffalo and saying, you know what, I'm going to just stay here and play above the value. Obviously, we know what AB comes with, but I'm just talking about the ability for the production on the field. Dude, this dude could easily catch for 1,100 and 10, 12 touchdowns. Like, easily. And I know what people, well, they got all of these guys and you got to spread the ball around. No, there are ways that Tom Brady has figured out how to highlight the best player. And AB, again, is the best offensive weapon for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm sure he's going to show it this year.
And I just want to reiterate the point that I started the story off with. All 22 starters from Super Bowl 55 from their winning team are returning. That is unheard of. Locked and loaded again. Let's run it back, y'all.
Draft hasn't happened yet either, guys.
Beautiful weather.
Yes.
No state income tax.
Let's get to the draft championship right now. Culture. Speaking of which, that's where Marcus Spears is right now, guys. Quarterback heavy draft, that is for sure. Five could go in the first round. We've talked about them at nauseam. Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones. I can go on and on, et cetera. Max, which quarterback are you most excited to see at the next level?
Zach Wilson. I'm most excited to see Zach Wilson because I heard a lot about him, like, as the draft approaches, right? He's on sort of on your radar, but it reminded me of Roethlisberger when Eli and Phillip Rivers were coming out. And all the, then later in the season, you start hearing more and more about Roethlisberger. Let me look at him. Let me check him out. Oh, yeah, you can see why people like him. He's going ahead of Justin Fields. Are people crazy? And then so I started, you know, like you mentioned the other day, Stephen, that you go on YouTube, you start watching stuff, and oh, my God, this dude is just the eyeball test. Is crazy. The off-platform stuff, the accuracy, the way he makes those throws, the way he escapes pressure, reads defenses. Guys, Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, everyone supposes. And Justin Fields, I'm curious to see how he does. And Trey Lance, maybe a year or two down the road. And what about Mac Jones and everything he's saying about reading defense? But Zach Wilson is the dude that I want to see. And there are two parts to it, guys. There's what the athlete brings, and I want to see it. I've been wrong about some guys. Sam Bradford, I thought would be great. I saw him do some great things in college. Nope. And there are other guys you're right about. You go, yeah, of course, you could see that coming. So I want to know about Zach Wilson. But the other side of it is, where are all these guys going? Zach Wilson is going to New York. He's going to the Jets. This is not the heritage team in town, but they have a rabid fan base. They haven't been good in a long time. This is the team of Joe Namath. When was the last time they had a great quarterback in New York? And by the way, Sam Darnold was supposed to be there. It didn't quite happen. There are two sides of it, the athlete and the market and the team, and I'm excited for all of it.
Well, I think the operative word is excited. You know, if you're intrigued, I like your selection. But excited, I want to see Trevor Lawrence. They're talking about this brother the way they talked about Peyton Manning. They're talking about this brother the way they talked about Andrew Luck and some of the great, great quarterbacks that we've ever seen in NFL history. That is the expectation. So because of that, I want to see what he brings to this level. You got to remember, we've seen him in big-time competition. Please don't get me wrong, guys. And Marcus, I think you can appreciate where I'm about to come from with this. Trevor Lawrence has played against stiff competition, make no mistake about that, and I'm not trying to knock it. But I don't think anybody would accuse the ACC of being the SEC.
You know, and so when I look at it from that perspective, I just think what Clemson brings to the table, and certainly they've been in the National College Football Playoffs and they've had stiff competition, and we've seen enough from Trevor Lawrence to know he is absolutely positively the real deal, at least on the collegiate level, and I believe on a pro level, but I still want to see it on this level, where week in, week out, you're going up against NFL competition, as opposed to slaughtering some lesser competition, which I think that he's done in his career, as well as performing against big-time competition. But the other part about it that I'm excited about is because Urban Meyer is his coach. And Urban Meyer, one of the great, phenomenal coaches we've ever seen in college football history, is taking his first dibs at an NFL job. And the fact that Urban Meyer is your coach, and just like it's your rookie year in the NFL, it's his rookie year in the NFL as a head coach, is also intriguing. Obviously, we haven't seen much from their receivers. I think Chenault was their leading receiver. He only had about 58 receptions or what have you. So they've got to upgrade from the receiving corps standpoint. But that still doesn't eradicate the fact that you want to see what Trevor Lawrence brings to the table, especially with Urban Meyer as his coach. I'm most excited about seeing that amongst the quarterbacks.
Well, y'all done heard me. Y'all know who I'm most excited about seeing. Justin Fields, man. Like, we've been having this conversation, asking questions about why is he not the second-rated quarterback in this draft, not that much of a degree of separation between him and Trevor Lawrence. And you look at everything that's been transpiring leading up to this, and I'm just thinking in my mind, are we going to have another Deshaun Watson situation? Are these teams going to pass on him because they've convinced themselves that one or the other guys are better, and he falls to a team, and then he goes on to have a tremendous amount of success? He's a no-brainer, no question guy. I'm most excited to see that. Because look, Justin Fields, as much as I've lamented about how good he has some ways to go in order to be a professional quarterback, in order to have the staying power, in order to have the consistency, in order to be the guy that we all believe he can be when you look at what he's done on film and from an athletic standpoint. So when he gets wherever he's drafted, outside of number three, if it's lower, and then you start to see Justin Fields get down and down and ends up on a team that's probably going to be middle of the pack or pretty good, I'm going to be excited to see what he does for that football team. And I understand that Justin Fields has been talked about as a range of being up there at number three or as low as going down to 10, 12, some team jumping up to get him. But I'm telling y'all right now, there will be a conversation in 2 years or 3 years where we say, how did they miss on Justin Fields if he falls in this draft?
Yeah, so the Bears would be nuts not to jump up and grab him if they could. But, Marcus, I have a question for you. When my eyeballs are on Zach Wilson, like, there are some dudes who are really good, big, strong arms, really excellent players. Josh Allen comes to mind. Dak Prescott comes to mind. But there are other dudes that when my eyes are on them, give me a different feeling. Mahomes, obviously. Rodgers, obviously. Also, Justin Herbert. A different kind of arm talent for me, even than Allen or Prescott. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm talking about the impression I get. When I watch all these guys, the one who gives me that feeling is Zach Wilson. Am I imagining that, or does he have a different kind of talent?
No, Max, you're not imagining that. It's a different kind of talent, but here's the thing, man. Like, we now have this perception of what jumps off the page. And Zach Wilson fits all of that. You hear these words, off-platform throws, and he has the ability to throw across his body. The one thing that stands out about Zach Wilson when we breaking this thing down in general terms, when you watch him play football, what we attribute to all of these other quarterbacks that we talk about that are fascinating and top of their game, they are playmakers. They figure out how to get themselves out of bad situations. They raise the level of the guys around him. His skill set lends itself to him helping guys elevate their game. Now, here's the caveat, and we have to talk about this because he went to BYU. This is not to cast aspersions on quarterbacks that come from lower-tier schools. Does that translate? And you won't find that out until he plays
the
NFL, when it's better competition and taking those chances. And, yes, you should be, Max. You should be excited. And the things that Zach Wilson has done on tape, the things that he's done at BYU in this year, like let's not talk about a long sample size, it does jump off the page. So, yes, be excited. But there will be different types of animals on the opposite side of the ball. We know Patrick Mahomes can take those chances and make it happen. We know Aaron Rodgers has for years took those chances and made them happen. When you're talking about a rookie coming in and you floating these comparisons around, we also have to remember guys like Jalen Ramsey will be over there. Guys like Stephon Gilmore will be over there. It's a different animal when you get to this point. That's what everybody needs to see about Zach Wilson if all of this stuff that jumps off the page translates to this next level when you're facing guys like that.
All right. 100%. Marcus Spears bringing his A game one day away, covering the draft. I see you stepped your frame game up, and I heard you want Jerry to trade up for Kyle Pitts. I heard you're really excited about that on Get Up this morning.
Stop
we'll
playing.
Get that in
later. Stop playing, Molly.
Goodbye,
stop
Marcus.
Playing. Don't play with
Goodbye.
Me.
Goodbye.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Golden State Warriors stuck on 12 points for 9 minutes and changed the NBA's longest scoring drought in almost a dozen years during a 30-point loss to the Dallas Mavericks. The visiting Mavs scored 28 points during that stretch, matching the second-best scoring run in the NBA over the past two decades. Steve Kerr, your thoughts.
I'm not that concerned about a nine-minute scoring drought. I'm concerned about defense. I'm concerned about a level of intensity and preparation and competitiveness. That's what was missing. And I'm the head coach, so I did not have them ready to play. Clearly, biggest game of the year, and it was over before it started. So really, really disappointing.
All right, so to reiterate here, fellas, the Mavs went on a 28-0 run in the first half onto a 30-point win over the Dubs. Stephen A., let me ask you this. When Klay returns, are you convinced this team, as presently constructed, can be contenders?
Yes. Matter of fact, without even looking at next season, looking at the power in the West or whatever, I'm willing to tell you right now, if Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are healthy together next year, it's easily a second-round semifinals appearance, and I think I'd give it better than a 50% possibility they'll be in the conference finals. That's how lethal I think they are. I think they're the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball. You know what? I remember one time, Max, I marveled at Damian Lillard shooting better than 40% from three-point range last year. Well, you know something? Steph Curry has never shot less than 40% from three-point range in his career, with the exception of last season when he only played five games because the bubble halted the play. He was injured, and then after that he came back and then only played five games. His backcourt made Klay Thompson all 8 years of his career in the NBA. He has never shot worse than 40% from three-point range. They're the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball. And so for me, when I look at that and what they bring to the table, I certainly believe that, because I believe in today's day and age where the game is tailored around perimeter play, particularly shooters, I think that they are the creme de la creme. That's how I feel about them. Having said all of that, let me be also clear about this. Last night was a disgraceful performance, and Steve Kerr was absolutely right to point that out. 9 minutes and 38 seconds they went without scoring. The longest drought in about a decade. Got outscored 28 to nothing in that span where they missed 18 straight shots, nine of them three-pointers, okay? Those are historically bad numbers. And the other day I brought up about Andrew Wiggins on the jump when I said I'd give him away for a box of cookies. I'm not talking about his talent because I know Andrew Wiggins has talent. But for every one game he's significant, there's 20 games where it ain't there. The numbers are there. But in terms of impact, this is a former number one overall pick, and you just don't get much. And that's how I look at it. That would not be the case if Klay Thompson was there. And that's why I say what I say.
I don't want to underrate Klay's importance. He is a great player. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. He's a great two-way player. He's got size. And by the way, return of Coach Mackey, Stephen A., steady buckets, my daughter's basketball skills development program. Coach Mackey uses Klay to teach people how to shoot, right? He's perfect. I get it. It's not enough to make them contenders. And I respect your definition of a contender. You're saying 50-50 possibility there in the conference finals. You're right. That's a contender. If you would have said, well, they'll get to the second round. I'm not trying to hear that. That's not a title contender. You're saying, no, they got a good shot to make it to the conference finals. That's a title contender. I disagree. As presently constructed, it's not enough, Stephen A., because we're so quick to look at Steph and Klay and think of those old Warriors. Really, I thought the second most important player on those old Warriors pre-KD was Draymond. He was the pick-and-roll partner with Steph. He was the do-everything guy on defense. He was the reason you could play five out because at that point he could shoot the three. He can't shoot the three anymore. He's a little bit older. Iguodala's not there, who's another guy totally forgotten in that core. There was like a core four on that team. And Iguodala's totally forgotten. He's a great player. He's gone, right? So, and you're right. Wiggins ain't no Iguodala, even if Golden State's trying to sell him as a defensive stopper. No, he's not. Now, here's the good news for Golden State. As presently constructed, I disagree with you, Stephen A. They ain't doing anything in the West next year. They'll make the playoffs, maybe get to the second round, maybe not. However, who says they're going to be as presently constructed? They can go out and get a superstar with what they have. Let's not forget, if they miss the playoffs, they'll have a lottery pick. And possibly. And they have Minnesota's pick, which is top three protected this year. And then next year, it's not protected at all, unprotected. They take the Minnesota pick, their own pick, Wiseman, Wiggins. They can get probably anybody. Does Karl Anthony Towns want to stay where he is in Minnesota if they have to give up their pick and they're going nowhere? Is Bradley Beal available? They'll be the team in the best position to swing a deal. And once they do, then they'll be contenders. But with the squad they have right now, they're not contending for a title next year, even with Clay.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would, because you're thinking about the squad that they have, and you're not thinking about the impact a player can have on how others look. You're not thinking about how the combination of Klay and Steph makes Draymond better as a point forward and even as a defender, because you're energizing. You're not soaking up all your energy trying to bring these young dudes along. You're thinking about Wiseman, who's 7 feet. He's only 19 years old. This was his first year in the NBA. Next year, well, guess what? Some of the physicality that he had to absorb this year, because all you have to concern yourself with was Steph. Now you got to worry about Steph and Klay, which is going to put him in isolated situations in a position to do damage. That's also going to relieve some of the onus from Draymond Green's shoulders as well. And whether it's a Wiggins or an Oubre or whomever else that you have there, along with the young talent that they have, again, it's as great as Klay is, and he is a future Hall of Famer without question, first ballot, three-time champion, all of that other stuff. The combination of Klay and Steph and the level of fright and sheer panic that they provoke in an opponent on the defensive side of the ball frees up everything, not just physically and literally, but psychologically as well, in terms of what it infuses in your teammates, what they're capable of doing, and how all of a sudden the onus that is on their shoulders is significantly less because you know what Klay and Steph can do and what burden that takes off of you.
Yeah.
All of those things play a role. I ain't even bring up free throw shooting as well, which is incredibly important as well. They couldn't even get to the free throw line last night. They didn't attempt one free throw in that 9 minutes and 38.
I had everything you set up. I agree. I think I agree with all of those points, actually.
Of course you do.
I'm going through them one by one. But you're still going to have to compete with the Nuggets, ostensibly next year with a healthy Jamal Murray and an improving Porter and, you know, obviously Jokic. I don't know that what you just said is better than that Nuggets team. I don't know. This Jazz team is right there with the Warriors that you describe. Obviously, the Lakers, the Clippers keep getting better. I don't know whether what everything you said could be true. That doesn't put them in the conference finals. I mean, you say 50-50. I say no conference finals for them next year,
but that's
unless
the point,
they make
Max.
A move. I think they will make a move,
said,
but as currently
said,
constructed, no.
I'm talking about presently constructed because we don't know what moves that they're going to make. But I said 50-50. You said no way and then come back with a whole bunch of I don't knows. You don't know about Denver. You don't know about Utah.
Right, but add it all up, they ain't getting there.
I'm saying you don't know about all of those things. But I know about Clay and Steph, and so do you.
By the way, I didn't even mention Phoenix.
And
I didn't
so
even mention Phoenix.
Listen. They went to the final. They won three championships. You're talking about Klay and Steph when they had, again, Iguodala was an elite defender, but they had Zsa Zsa Pachulia. They had Andrew Bogut. I mean, they got all of that. I mean, now you go in a different direction with younger talent, more spry, fresher legs, and can do some things for you offensively. And combining that with Steph and Klay, please. I'm very confident in them. Very.
All right. Guys, we ran out of time here. I just want to mention quickly, we won't get to the Celtics, but they had a terrible loss last night. They're now 32-30, lost four of their last five. They're in the sixth spot and trying not to fall to the seventh because then they're going to have to play in that play-in tournament.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day.
Former pound-for-pound king Floyd Mayweather will return to the ring to face YouTube sensation-turned-boxer Logan Paul at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami on June 6th on Showtime, pay-per-view, and Fanmeo. It was announced Tuesday night. The announcement didn't specify how many rounds they will fight or what size gloves they will use. Stephen A., you are up first here. Is this fight bad for boxing?
I think it is. I don't like it. I'm not knocking the Pauls, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, like some people have, because paying attention to the world of boxing, promoters have been, you know, controlling the sport for far too long. And when you have promoters controlling the sport, not giving you the fights that you want to see, the fact that a guy like Jake Paul has about 14.8 million, you know, Instagram followers, I have to pay attention to that. I mean, I'm looking at Logan Paul's numbers here. He's got 19.1 million Instagram followers. So he's got an audience there, him and his brother. And, you know, I get all of that. In the sport of boxing, I mean, listen, if you can make the fight on your own and you don't have to use the promoters to do it, they can't control who you're going to fight, when you're going to fight, what kind of audience you're going to end up having, et cetera, et cetera. That's a beautiful thing. And that's something that can't be ignored. And we understand that. The flip side to it is that I think that I feel sorry for the boxers
because you got legitimate professional boxers out there. You know, I'm not saying that Jake Paul and Logan Paul don't put in the work. Please don't get me wrong. I'm sure that they do, and they work very hard at it from what I'm told. Matter of fact, they're getting trained by professionals and stuff like that. And so I understand they're taking it very, very seriously, and they're to be commended for it, even though they're not going up against, you know, real boxers as of yet. But if you're Floyd Money Mayweather, why? And I, you know, when you talk about an exhibition against Conor McGregor, that's different. He was the biggest star in the UFC. You were the biggest star in boxing. He talked a lot of trash, wanted it and all of that stuff. And it was incredibly, incredibly entertaining, even though we all knew that Conor McGregor wasn't a boxer per se, even though he was obviously an elite striker in the UFC. I'm just looking at Floyd and I'm just like, you know, I mean, he's going to toy with this guy, etc. I just don't believe that people who don't have a resume per se, because I think Logan Paul only had like his records like 0-1 or 1-1, something along those lines, and he's boxed a total of 6 rounds. I don't think someone like that should be in the ring with Floyd Money Mayweather, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, we have ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a privilege to be in the ring with Floyd Money Mayweather.
Max, where are
That's
you
not
this?
Something that should happen in an exhibition. I just
I'll tell you why Floyd is doing this. When you say Floyd, why? Because Floyd Mayweather has made more money since he supposedly retired than he did up in his entire career up to the De La Hoya fight. Because he's getting paid absurd money to box exhibitions against novices. So why wouldn't he do it? And I'm not like a lot of boxing people here, Stephen A. What you just said made a lot of sense in terms of the kind of orthodoxy that the boxing establishment feels when they see stuff like this. And a lot of boxing fans, they feel like it's a sideshow and everything else. Look, boxing has been marginalized in mainstream culture, mainstream sports culture. I'm not going to sit here and pretend it hasn't. Let me tell you the people, because I had Jake Paul on Max on Boxing a couple weeks ago. Let me tell you the people who he says have come to him and said, we love what you're doing for boxing. Mike Tyson, Oscar De La Hoya. It's Floyd Mayweather who's fighting Logan Paul in this exhibition, right? Like Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya, Mike Tyson. These are the three biggest box office attractions in boxing in the last how many decades? And they recognize it. They say, we like it. You know who likes it? Jermell Charlo, Stephen A. He's like, yeah, I want to fight on the undercard. Because these fighters recognize that they're bringing eyeballs to combat sports. And the way boxing has handled this in the past has not been good. The boxing establishment felt very threatened by the UFC, not just by MMA, but by the UFC's success in particular. And I've been saying for a long time, now really decades now, instead of being threatened by it, use it as an introduction to combat sports. They're introducing new audiences to combat sports. Go to those people, say, you like combat sports? Maybe you'd like to check us out instead of being hostile toward it. You know, people they need to know the characters involved to be interested, and they have to believe that there's an interesting obstacle in the way. So they know Floyd. They know Logan Paul. Okay, Floyd is much more experienced, but he's old and he's much smaller, so some people, the less informed, think maybe Logan has a chance to win, right? I understand making a big event. That's what they're doing. And I also understand that if boxing, as you touched on, would give the fans the fights they want to see, instead of a dude coming off a signature win.
Like the UFC
and then,
does.
Like the UFC does. Like Dana's a boxing fan who was frustrated for years and tried to correct the mistakes he saw in boxing in the UFC. Big part of the success. I've been talking to Dana about this for decades. Stephen A., you're right when you touch on that. Guy comes off a big win. Why are you putting him in against setup, like fights that everyone knows the other guy has no chance and they don't even know the other guy?
Hold on, Max.
This answers that.
Well, let me chime in here. I think you're misconstruing what I'm trying to say. I don't disagree with your points. I think they're incredible points, by the way. And I think that it's great for the sport of boxing, for example, if boxers can become a part of it where they won't need the promoters to give the public the fights that they want to see. I love the notion of this potentially being something that could bypass the conventional, traditional promoters that have gotten in the way of giving us the fights that we want to see. I personally, like, listen, I'm a fan of Al Haymon's and the phenomenal work that he's done over the years, and Bob Arum, and I love and respect all of these guys. But damn it, when Errol Spence Jr. and Terrence Crawford out there, and we're clamoring Amen. For that fight. We should have it. You know, we shouldn't have had to wait 5 years, you know, for Pacquiao and Mayweather to take place and stuff like that. So I get it. And if this is a conduit towards, you know, leaning towards you being able to bypass those promoters to give fighters the fight that they want to see, I respect that. In the case of Logan Paul, I respect the fact that he's going to step into a ring with Floyd Money Mayweather, even more so than Floyd stepping into the ring with him, because, my God, this person shouldn't even be able to touch you. What I don't condone is, as much as I respect Jake Paul, because I think that he takes it seriously from everything that I've been told in terms of his training, people who are teaching him, he's not taking it for granted. He puts in the work, and he's to be respected for that. You can't beat up a basketball player. You know, if you're going to get in the ring with somebody, you need to get in the ring with somebody, as you would use the words you used, Max, was muscle memory. Because guess what? Because of what Jake Paul does with himself, he could actually be arrested for doing that stuff on the street.
Yeah, but Stephen A., Jake Paul was a beginner, too. That's not, like, I hear what you're saying. First of all, let me say, I hear what you're saying.
But he fought somebody that doesn't even fight at all. At least Logan Paul is fighting somebody that fights.
What I'm saying, if a dude is 1-0, which Jake Paul was, right? By the way, I said a couple weeks ago, I had him on this last Friday. If a dude is 1-0, which what Jake Paul was, he's not responsible for making sure the other dude's taking it seriously in training. Jake Paul
Don't fight, Max. You gotta remember, listen, you cover boxing. You know everybody in boxing. You hear a lot of noise about the work that Jake Paul has put in over years.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, but when you're getting in the ring with somebody like Nate Robinson, come on, Max.
Well, put you in can't the work, Nate.
Listen. We understand that Nate Robinson might have been foolish to do that, and I'm certainly not trying to knock him right now. My point is that you're not supposed to get into the ring with somebody like that
when you know what you've been doing. Well, I hear what you're saying, but if you got one or two fights, you're going to fight another inexperienced dude.
That's professional, Max. What about all the rounds that he's put in? You know this, just like you heard the same stuff I've been hearing.
When pros are built early in their careers, they're usually put in with mismatches in order for them to gain experience. And in this case,
not people who don't fight at all.
In this case, Jake Paul is making events that people are interested in. Do you or I rate him as a contender? No, we don't rate him as a contender.
That's not
we rate him
as a novice. Max. That's not the point. So in other words, if Jake Paul went out in the street, because that's basically what he did when he fought Nate Robinson, you just walk up to somebody and you just knock him out. That's okay?
No, because we wouldn't care, but we care about Nate Robinson because he's a character we know and are interested in. That's not the same thing as a dude on the street.
So basically, anybody famous is okay.
By the way, for a novice.
It's not okay, Molly.
Yeah, because
it's not okay.
To Max's point, is kind of what he's saying.
That's what Max is saying, and I disagree with that.
At first, when Jake Paul and Logan Paul were just famous, right? At first, that is okay. And then you have to graduate. He went from another famous guy to an athlete who doesn't fight, to a fighter who doesn't box, and eventually you would think to some kind of boxer. Right now, Stephen A., it looks like they're focusing on MMA fighters, because at least they come from a fighting background without an unfair advantage in hand skills.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
You can explain it away all you want to.
I think you're
flagrantly wrong about that, right, especially when you fight folks that don't fight. We can't condone that.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.